You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 16th, 2020, new correspondence between Hunter Biden and the chairman of a Chinese energy company being made public. Part of an email that Hunter Biden sent June 2017 to a representative of the Chinese energy company, asking that he in turn translate my letter to the chairman. He said, I hope my letter finds you well. I regret missing you on your last visit to the States. Please accept the best wishes from the entire Biden family, as well as my partners. And also urging him to mail them a $10 million wire quickly so we can get this joint venture together. The transfer of the money apparently never was completed. And, of course, when he's talking about the entire Biden family, we know James Biden, Joe Biden's son, was involved, and we know that Hunter Biden, in leasing space, asked for keys for everyone that needed keys of his partners, and he listed at that time his daddy, Joe Biden. At the time, Joe was vice president. And, of course, just last week, Hunter finally acknowledged that, yeah, I am under investigation for tax affairs in Delaware by the U.S. Attorney's Office. I take it seriously. He's now saying, I think I just need to deal with amendments on my tax returns. And part of that comes from because there's another email that indicates he got $400,000 unreported income from Burisma. Never reported it. Yeah, you're going to need to amend something. And in the meantime, Daddy's been saying I'm proud of my son and not wanting to take any other questions, did finally make a response today when he was asked, are you confident Hunter did nothing wrong? Joe Biden's response, I'm confident. In other words, put it to rest, we're done with it. Yeah, well, in the mainstream media, you may or may not be. If they decide to go for the playbook and look at this as a way to harm Joe Biden, since he might be president anyway at this rate, and then he has to leave, and who would come in behind him? Oh, that would be Kamala. Yeah, that might be part of the playbook. In the meantime, a group of House Republicans calling on House Speaker Pelosi to remove Congressman Eric Swalwell from the House Intel Committee. This, of course, follows a report that he'd been targeted by a Chinese spy for years. For years. Swalwell is still not publicly stating anything. And Senator Cotton says if he's hiding behind the cloak of classified information saying, I can't talk because it's classified information, your relationship with the Chinese spy, your social relationship, your friendly, sexual, whatever relationship you had, you can talk about that. We can find out what she was doing and what you were doing with her at that time. And everything. Well, he doesn't want to talk about that either. And New York Times still has not reported the story, still has not reported it. We're going to be talking about that in more detail coming up in the next segment. Joe Biden has told various leaders, quit talking about police reform until after the Georgia's January 5th Senate runoff election. And county sheriffs in Georgia are condemning him for that. They say, we know what he wants to do, and of course, these Democrat candidates, Ossoff and Warnock, are told, don't bring up police reform and defunding police. It could hurt us. And the sheriffs are trying to send word across the state. We know what he's going to try to do. In the meantime, the Customs Border Protection chief is saying Biden is already responsible for massive human caravans forming as far deep as Nicaragua and Central America, getting ready to move toward the Mexico border because they think the day he's inaugurated, they can walk across. You heard on the network news a moment ago, congressional leaders say they're closing in on a long-awaited coronavirus relief bill that could include a second round of direct payments to millions of Americans. Will it get to you in time? And then if it's not tough enough up in the Northeast, they got a major storm hitting. They're calling it Winter Storm Gale, spread over 1,000 miles, will affect more than 40 million. They're saying it could be the biggest storm in several years for the New York City area and those states around it. Riddle me this. What do you think if your enemy says, I'm happy with what you're doing? The Iranian president is saying the Islamic Republic is very happy that Donald Trump might be leaving office, that they're happy to see Joe Biden come in. Iran's happy to see Biden. We're going to discuss that with Fred Flights coming up later this hour. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Any member of the House Intelligence or Senate Intelligence Committee has access to some of the government's most sensitive reporting and analysis. Obviously, any foreign adversary would love to have access to that information. I guess Eric Swalwell says he's a victim in all of this. If that's the case, what he should do is come forward and have a no-holds-barred press conference and explain exactly what his relationship with this Chinese spy was. He keeps hiding behind the cloak of classified information, but there's nothing classified about his fundraising practices or his social life.
Those are the words of Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who's also on the House Intel Committee. And he's saying basically that Eric Swalwell, serving on the Intel Committee and being exposed to this Chinese spy, her name Christine Fain, came here to the U.S. as an exchange student. And then began to build relationships with various up-and-coming politicians. At the time she met Swalwell, he was just a little councilman or mayor, maybe, something like that. I don't recall exactly. And, of course, being very buddy and close friends. And then as he rises into Congress and now gets a position on the Intel Committee, well, she looks like a wonderful spy for the Chinese government as far as what they wanted. As I mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, we have a group of House Republicans calling on Pelosi to remove Swalwell from the House Intel Committee. That letter signed by the top Republicans, including language like, because of Swalwell's position on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, his close interactions with Chinese intel services may be unintentional, however unintentional they may be, are an unacceptable national security risk. Our committee handles some of the most sensitive information of our nation. Still no response from Pelosi. Other than she had said the other day, I stand by him. Basically that. And Swalwell, as you heard Senator Cotton say, he's still really not saying anything. He wants to say, well, I can't talk about it because it would involve, you know, releasing classified information. I like what Senator Cotton said. If Swalwell wants to claim he's a victim, well, then come forward, have a no-holds-barred press conference and explain what your relationship with this spy is. Now, so far, he has not admitted to any sexual relations. That's not an important part of the story overall, except maybe to Swalwell, because apparently the FBI said it has video of some other politicians who were involved in, how would we say, compromising positions with this Chinese spy, a beautiful young woman. So for Swalwell, maybe it's, what? She didn't do anything like that for me. And I took her out and I entered. I didn't get that. So he may be wanting to hold back just because of that. Who knows? We're going to be joined later in this hour by Fred Flights, president of the Center for Security Policy. And he says there are two specific questions that Nancy Pelosi should be asked, and it should be demanded she answer. I'll let Fred explain those coming up a little bit later. But the media coverage of this thing, I mean, it has been, it's very much like the Hunter Biden story originally when the Post broke the story that it had his laptop and emails. Mainstream media just looked away, CNN even making a statement that it's just too outrageous to discuss, too gross, things of that nature. They just couldn't bear to even talk about it. So they just ignored it. And remember the audio captured from a producer's meeting by Project Veritas of the president of CNN at a production meeting one morning telling the staff, yeah, this Hunter Biden thing, yeah, we're not going to do that. You know, it's just no sense. It's just stories being spun up by Rudy Giuliani, and it's more Russian collusion type stuff. Yeah, there they go again, blame the Russians. So the other day, White House Press Secretary McHaney began to try to explain as to how we see the difference every time something comes up that involves Democrats versus Republicans. Now, of course, we are seeing now many of the mainstream media are beginning to pay a little more attention to Hunter Biden. And I've told you previously, and I believe this, that they might be following a playbook that if Joe Biden, once he's sworn in, if they can continue to expose bad things about Hunter Biden while they were wanting to ignore it in advance of the election, and any of that can splash back on Joe, then Kamala and the other progressives can walk in and say, Joe, you're compromised. You got to step aside. I'll take over now. So they may be well doing that. But that's how they were playing Hunter, and they are playing Swalwell at that point now. They're basically just ignoring the story. Again, here's the story as McEnany was explaining it to reporters.
Last week, we found out that Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell was infiltrated by an alleged Chinese spy. The spy cozied up to Swalwell, raised funds for his 2014 campaign, and even planted an intern in his office. And that relationship continued until the FBI briefed him in 2015. And that was some very good reporting done by Axios. But after entangling with this spy for years, Swalwell hypocritically went on to be one of the lead instigators of the Russia collusion hoax and the impeachment sham.
That's exactly right. He did do that. The one statement he issued the other day about this spy said, well, I broke off relations once the FBI told me she's a spy. I broke them off, and the FBI thanked me for my help. That's what he says. But again, no questions being really hit at him but from the mainstream media. Senator Cotton pointed out just how one of the main components of the leftist media has been dealing with the Eric Swalwell story.
It is revealing that the New York Times is concealing what is a bombshell story, that the fact that a member of the House Intelligence Committee had a relationship with a Chinese spy, and that their readers won't know about that unless they tune in to Fox News. It makes you just wonder just how deeply in the pocket of Chinese interest are these major media corporations. Look, the New York Times and the Washington Post has gotten money from running Chinese propaganda over the years. Many TV stations are owned by or affiliated with major movie studios that are trying to get access to the Chinese theater market. There's a reason why there's no bad guys from China in major Hollywood movies. It's because they're owned by companies like Disney or like Comcast Universal that want access to the Chinese market. It makes you wonder how much the American media industry is in the pocket of Chinese interest that they won't cover these huge stories.
That's a very good question. It's a very alarming speculation as well that these media companies are in the pockets of the Chinese and actually doing their bidding. They want, we know that. We know that media companies, all, I mean, NBA, all, they all want a part of the China market. That's why the NBA have been ignoring all these reports of these basketball institutes put together over in China that were involved, according to numerous reports, torture and or sexual abuse of some of those trying out for the teams. And if we have members of the media, major media operations, that owe something to China, then you have to ask again, do we have a free First Amendment operation in this nation? Or are we in the mainstream media, among many of them, are they basically slaves to whatever China wants and try to cover it up? Again, White House Press Secretary Kayla McEnany brought up that same point.
These baseless attacks were false, yet covered breathlessly by the media. There was no coverage, however, of Swalwell being the one implicated with not Russia, but China. In fact, the New York Times website, as of this morning, had not one result for Eric Swalwell's ties to Chinese spies. Not one result. And when the Swalwell story broke, guess how many minutes of coverage it got on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, and CBS? Zero.
Zero. She did acknowledge that CNN spent maybe a minute on it. And she named a couple of the others. I had a little bit there, a little bit there. And the same thing existed with Hunter Biden going into the election. It was estimated by one survey that something like 20 million Biden voters, those who supported him, voted for him, never heard of the Hunter Biden laptop story because they relied on leftist media and they just never bothered reporting it. They didn't want to report it. And it'd be an NPR saying it's a distraction. We're not going to get into that kind of stuff. It's not verified. They had no problem at all running the story of the P dossier alleging Trump is connected in the Russian collusion and the Steele dossier without any verification on that. But this one, they decided we'll take a high ground and we won't look at it because we can't verify it. So they didn't run anything. And that's why so many were not aware of it. And they're just, pardon me, they're just now finding out about it. And the same thing now with Swalwell. If the New York Times is not, how could you possibly say a member of Congress having a relationship of whatever it would be with a Chinese spy and you're not running a story on it? And of course, don't forget Dianne Feinstein for almost 20 years had a spy in her midst serving as her driver, personal assistant. Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN. You know, he's always looking for, how do I dismiss all this? Well, one thing, he said, maybe I go after Kayla. You know, just attack the woman herself. They can't attack the facts, so that's what they decided. Lemon, on a clip last night, was talking about how he looked at what Kayla was doing and his response, by the way, is absolutely, you talking about being misogynistic and nasty and should be called out, but I've yet to see the mainstream media do it, or anyone on the left. So here's Don Lemon talking about Kayla McEnany and her remarks from the White House.
So much disinformation coming from the podium. It's just, it's every day. It's like, comes out, reads propaganda, talks about the what the media is doing, criticizes the media. This is what you should be covering. I think we got this. You used to sit here on the set with us. I think we got it. When you sat here with us, you thought we had it. You were happy to be here, but now we don't know what we're doing. Girl, bye.
Girl, bye? And there was a clip of him before that I cut out where he just started saying as he watched her clip, and he's on there just with a dramatic sigh, bye-bye, bye-bye, kind of the thing teenagers throw at each other, bye-bye, dismissive. But I have a problem, and I'm waiting for someone else to speak up. He's talking about a woman, and he calls her girl, bye. Do you want to guess the reaction would be if somebody on a conservative operation was talking about Don Lemon and said, boy, bye. Calling a grown man, a black man, a boy, you know what the reaction would be. Where is it for Kayla? What about women's rights? Oh, that's right. If you're conservative, you don't amount to anything. Well, you're going to hear more from her in a moment. Talk about the lies being peddled by Swalwell and the story that continues to be hidden. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me. Yonder come Miss Rosie.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Swalwell wrote this on his congressional webpage. President Trump and his team are directly and indirectly tied to Russia. That was not true. He then said in September of 2020, the president has a compromised relationship with Russia. Untrue. April of 2019, he said President Trump certainly acts on Russia's behalf and acts like Russia's leader. Not true. January 2019, Eric Swalwell said it's pretty clear President Donald Trump is an agent of Russia. Not true.
Again, that's White House Press Secretary Kayla McEnany pointing out how Swalwell has numerous times put out falsehoods, and now the mainstream media is covering him up now that he's apparently been involved with a Chinese spy. They don't want to report on it. Oh, by the way, when that meeting was over, Jim Acosta, Acosting Acosta of CNN, so-called reporter for the White House for CNN, shouted out to her, isn't it hypocritical for you to accuse others of disinformation when you spread it every day? And he loved it so much that he put clips of it on his tweet machine right away, showing, look what I did, look what I did. That's what we're getting from the mainstream media. And disinformation, not just from the mainstream media, but from the left in general. In fact, there was a heated exchange that took place today, the Senate Homeland Security Committee meeting. Chairman Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, calling out Gary Peters, Democrat of Michigan, accusing Peters of lying because Peters was claiming Ron Johnson had been spreading Russian disinformation involving Hunter Biden. Well, Chairman Ron Johnson had had enough of it. Here's his reaction to Peters, as he said, spreading false information.
So it's just galling, and I just have to point out that the purveyors of Russian disinformation, Hillary Clinton's campaign, the DNC, the Steele dossier, the ranking member Peters accusing Senator Grassley and I of disseminating Russian disinformation, that's where the disinformation is coming. That's where the false information, the lies, the false allegations. You lied repeatedly.
You lied repeatedly
in the press that I was spreading Russian disinformation, and that was an outright lie, and I told you to stop lying, and you continue to do it.
Mr. Chairman, this is not about airing your grievances. I don't know what rabbit hole you're running down.
You talked about Russian disinformation.
Down rabbit holes.
Senator Paul.
This is simply not what we're dealing with.
Senator Paul.
But, Mr. Chairman, you can't make
Judge
false allegations
and then dropping it there. That is why this needs to return back partisan things. This is terrible what you're doing to this committee and all the great work that you talked about.
It is what you have done to this committee.
That's exactly right. And you heard Chairman Johnson repeatedly calling Senator Paul. In other words, trying to give the floor to Senator Rand Paul to make some remarks. But you also heard Gary Peters, Democrat of Michigan, ranking member for the Democrats, continue to claim, I didn't do anything wrong. You're the guys who did it. Well, we know who was spreading Russian disinformation from the beginning when it came to Trump and the campaign. And they thought it'd be a good line to play out again as the Hunter Biden story began to break. The mainstream media was doing the same thing. It's all Russian disinformation. Why should we cover it? Now, the issue still with Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, should he be on the Intel Committee? As I said, 17 Republican House members sent a letter to Pelosi saying he needs to be immediately removed because of his ties to the spy from China. We're going to get into that in more detail with my guest coming up, Fred Flights, president of the Center for Security Policy. And he says there are two questions that Nancy Pelosi must answer. You hear the questions and Fred's take on this situation. And Iran, when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Okay, we're in the process of getting Fred Flights to the phone. He's got a busy schedule. I mean, the guy has got everybody in the mainstream media always wanting his time because of his knowledge on the U.S. security and world security, and specifically the Iran deal. And, of course, this most recent thing involving Eric Swalwell. And the Swalwell case, of course, involves Swalwell linked to a Chinese spy, probably sexual relations. I mean, he's got to at least think, well, I'm as good as some of the other people she saw. If she, FBI says I got video of her having sex with him, then I should have gotten that. Did I? And of course, whether or not he did, that's not my concern. But what did he tell her? And that's where we bring in Fred Flights, president for the Center for Security Policy. Fred, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So I'm looking at a piece you put out the other day. Originally, you put it on Fox News, and it's also now on the Center for Security Policy.org. And you're pointing out Nancy Pelosi must answer two critical questions regarding Swalwell. And go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, everyone's talking about how Swalwell might be a spy and he hid things from Pelosi, but there's some other issues here. When did Nancy Pelosi know about Swalwell's situation? She's claiming that Republicans and Democrats were briefed at the same time in 2015. I got to tell you, Larry, that if Republicans were told that this Chinese spy raised money for Swalwell's campaign, that would have gotten out. And I'm just wondering what she knew and when she knew it. I think there probably was a briefing in 2015, but the Republicans were probably told almost nothing about this story.
And you're pretty sure that if Republican leadership knew about it, they would have been making noise then.
They would have. And, I mean, routinely both sides are briefed. When I was on the House Intelligence Committee, I remember a case like this. All the details were released to both sides. I think there might have been some general briefing that we heard a Chinese spy try to approach Swalwell. We took care of it. But they didn't give the details. The fact that he could have had a romantic relationship with the woman, which I hope isn't true, I can't imagine that that was briefed to the Republicans. They never would have stood for this guy being on this committee if that was part of what they were told.
Well, as I was also saying, Swalwell probably, if he didn't have, quote, a romantic relationship, the FBI said, we caught her with two other guys. I mean, so he's probably thinking, what? Now, the question is, of course, well, that's one question you want to know, that when did she know it? But then what's the next step?
Well, there's another question, and this has been a pet peeve of mine for a while. When I was in the CIA to get access to highly classified information, I had to take a polygraph, I had to submit a drug test, and I had to submit to an FBI investigation. They talked to my neighbors and looked at my finances. Members of Congress don't have to do any of that. In theory, China could get someone elected to Congress, and that member of Congress would be told all of our most sensitive secrets. Pelosi has to answer, when is she going to say that members of Congress who want access to highly classified information have to first undergo an FBI background investigation?
And the key there is that these are not just congressmen elected, but they go on the Intel Committee. And the House Intel Committee, she's the one who puts members on it, correct?
Well, I mean, and how could she have put this guy on this committee knowing this deal with Fang Fang, the Chinese spy? It's a select committee, which means you don't get on by seniority. You are selected by the House leaders. The same thing on the Senate Intel Committee. That way, they can keep people off who they think are going to be a security problem.
And I agree with you. I mean, I would have thought, honestly, when you said that, I thought, I just assumed, and that's a bad thing for me to do, I assumed that anyone that went on the House Intel Committee, the stuff they're going to see, that they have been checked, some kind of FBI check, national back, something to verify that they're not going to be in a position to be compromised, as he could have been if he had sexual relations and or pillow talk of other type with this woman.
No, Larry, it's the honor system. You have to congressman self-report. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. And Pelosi the other day did make a remark. I think she said, what are we going to start doing, having interns in Congress, be checked? Actually, again, I thought if you're working for a congressman, congresswoman, senator, and you're around and you have access to the same stuff they have, I actually assumed that even that level was being checked.
Interns at the State Department, CIA, they undergo background checks. If you're an intern in a congressional office and your member is on the Intel Committee, you have access to all kinds of stuff the Chinese would want. Names of people the congressman is meeting with, dates and times of Intel Committee meetings, where the congressman is traveling. These are important pieces of information that foreign governments want to acquire.
And, of course, we had the situation a while back exposed about Dianne Feinstein, her driver or personal assistant who had been with her 8-plus years, was revealed to be a Chinese spy.
For 20 years.
20 years.
Feinstein's driver worked for Chinese intelligence. She's on the intelligence committee talking on her cell phone in the car to other members of the committee, not classified stuff, but those unclassified details of who she's seeing and where is she going, the dates of meetings, this Chinese spy sucked all that up.
And they can put the puzzle together. There's no doubt about it. Well, do you think this is – well, first of all, what about the – we got 17 Republican House members sent a letter to her and saying, you got to take him off the committee, and she has not responded on that.
I think she's going to have to. This is a public relations nightmare for her. I don't know how he got on the committee in the first place. It's very hard to get on. This guy was very junior. I've known House members who worked their whole career to get on that committee, and they never succeeded. I don't know that China had a role getting him on, but it's odd that this guy who had no national security experience suddenly got on one of the hardest committees to get on in the U.S. House.
Well, of course, he came out of California, Pelosi's home territory, and he was, what, I think, a councilman or something like that, and the spy had made contact with him then. In fact, that's the whole, if I understand, the whole operation project was make contacts with them when they're low people and then follow them and be joined with them when they move up the ladder into positions like this.
That's right. The Chinese intelligence is very systematic and patient. They develop potential senior members of Congress while they're nobodies. And she helped raise money for his first campaign. She got major donors in front of Swalwell. He may not be in Congress if it was not for this Chinese spy.
Yeah, he's just a city councilman in Dublin, and she met him 10 years ago. Yeah, that's a long-term relationship. Do you think this is really going to resolve anything, or is it just going to be the typical... And the failure of the mass media in New York Times to even run a story on it to this point.
Well, I'm appalled. I don't know whether he's working for Chinese intelligence or not, but I think we have to consider that this is not the only member of Congress that China has targeted. That's why we need the FBI investigations to find out how many other Fang Fangs have struck up relationships with members of Congress. She placed interns in. Well, at least one intern in Swalwell's Washington office. I have to assume there are dozens of other cases of this.
Let me turn to another subject which you have real great knowledge of. That's Iran. The Iranian president, Rouhani, just said today the Islamic Republic is very happy to see Donald Trump leave office. We are very, very happy to see Trump leave. And we all know why, because Trump continued that sanction pressure against Iran as terror supporters, and Biden's already signaling that we'll go back to what we did with Obama and John Kerry.
Yeah, they're looking forward to Obama-era appeasement resuming. It's quite a vote of confidence to Donald Trump that the Iranians wanted him out of office. And I'm worried that Biden is prepared to almost immediately rejoin the nuclear deal and will get nothing in return from the Iranians.
Now, of course, Kerry is not going to be in a cabinet position, doesn't have to go Senate confirmation, but he's going to be in the White House overseeing some kind of climate thing or something like that. But if he's there, and with his experience and so forth, while they're trying to get Blinken approved for Secretary of State, I would suspect, and you got to tell me if I'm wrong about this, that Kerry would be tapped from time to time or go in and offer ideas on dealing with Iran since he was at the negotiating table the last time.
No, I think that's right. And Susan Rice is in the White House as a non-confirmable job, and so is Kerry. And look, isn't it interesting that climate change is one of the priorities of this administration? You're not hearing anything about China. I think Kerry will be very influential in the Oval Office, constantly influencing Biden's foreign policy decisions.
How big of a threat is there going to be, not only to national security, but world security, if Iran gets the blessings of Biden to move forward?
I think if Biden rejoins the nuclear deal, and I think he will, it's going to be a windfall of cash for Iran that it's going to spend on its missile and nuclear programs. They'll step up their destabilization of the region, and it's going to hurt our reputation in the region. Former Ambassador James Jeffrey, a never a Trumper who got to be a Trump ambassador, just retired. He said most states in the region are going to miss Donald Trump, and he's urged Biden to stick with Trump's Middle East policies. I hope Biden listens.
All right. Fred, as always, we appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
You bet. Fred Flights, Center for National Security Policy. And they had, by the way, recently a deal or no deal, the Iran nuclear challenge, on how a Biden administration would handle a future deal with Iran, specifically Biden's plan to rejoin it. It's something we're going to have to continue watching. Take a break. When we come back, who do you think would be a racist president that you definitely should be getting rid of his history?
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Every day, taking care of business.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You want to know how wacko this world is getting lately? Let me share this with you. There's a transgender activist who was talking to the Washington Examiner. This transgender activist has been in the process, as he says, transitioning for the past 5 years. And is making an argument for all children to be put on puberty blockers until they can make an informed decision on their gender. Put the kids on puberty blockers so they can make a decision, am I boy or girl? Now, I recently told you about an actress who she was being asked, is she going to be a boy or girl? And said, well, we won't know until they are 16, then they will make the decision. They're going to let the child make the decision at age 16. You got 16 years of history. I don't know what's going to happen in that 16 years that will push or pull them one way or the other, regardless of their gender. But again, this transgender activist is saying, if children can't consent to puberty blockers, which pause any permanent changes, even if they have relevant professional evaluation, how can they consent to any permanent irreversible changes regarding their puberty with no professional evaluation? That's gobbledygook talk. It's basically saying, if you can't tell the kids information so they know I don't want to become a boy, give me something now, or the other way around, because you don't think they're capable, then don't do anything. Basically, don't do anything directly, and yet at the same time begin to deal with it. She says, as an inability to offer informed consent or understand the long-term consequences is actually an argument for pushing and putting every single cis and trans person on puberty blockers until they acquire that ability. You got to pray for our country, pray for kids around the world of this kind of stuff. So we have a lot of political correctness and woke generation pulling down statues, changing names of colleges, streets, or whatever, saying it's linked to someone who owns slaves or is racist or something. In San Francisco, they had a renaming committee, as they call themselves. And they are now looking at changing the name of a school in San Francisco. The chairman of the committee, who's also a first grade teacher in San Francisco, said uprooting problematic names and symbols that currently cluster buildings, streets throughout the city is a worthy endeavor. Stop there for a second. You know what the situation is in San Fran S-hole with the homeless people, crime and everything else, and they're concerned about removing names and symbols on buildings and streets, that's a worthy endeavor? In the midst of all that, they could be worried about that? Only in San Francisco, right? Anyway, goes on to say, only good can come from the public being reflective and intentional about the power of our words, names, and rhetoric within our public institutions. And they're now saying, what we need to do is rename one particular school. They've already gone after schools named Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe because they were slave owners. They even went after Dianne Feinstein. She ended up on the list because she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in front of City Hall. But now the one they're attacking now, they are going after to change the name of Lincoln High School. Lincoln High School. Honest Abe, the great emancipator. Abe Lincoln. The committee, according to a report, didn't even discuss it. It was a slam dunk. They have deemed that whether a person's actions or beliefs met the criteria for renaming and moved on. And they decided the discussion for Lincoln centered around his treatment of First Nation peoples, because that was offered first. Once he met criteria in that way, we didn't belabor the point. Lincoln, whose grandfather was killed by a Native American, did oversee the hanging of 38 Native Americans. He also saved the lives of 265. And a scholar of Lincoln said he saved the country from dividing and ruin, more progressive than most. There was pretty rampant hostility toward Native Americans. I think Lincoln rose above it. And he adds, and I agree with this, nobody is going to pass 21st century mores if you're looking at the 18th and 19th centuries. Abe Lincoln, the great emancipator, setting the slaves free, and they decide, no, he's got a history we don't like, and he lived a life stained by racism. So we're going to remove the school name Lincoln High School. There will come a time of reckoning, believe me. There will be a time we'll all look back at all this and say, how did we ever allow this even to start? Lord help us. As always, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you spreading the word about this program. You don't get to listen to it live, and your friends didn't, tell them it's available at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Oh, it's a podcast. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Back here tomorrow, 1. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.